And we are live. This is Dark Journalists. Oh, what a fantastic crowd we have out there in the ideas room tonight for this special report. And of course, tonight I am joined by the lovely Olivia.
Hi, everybody.
And Olivia, looks like it's orange skies over the East Coast and especially Manhattan.
Yeah, it's very disturbing.
Well, it's supposedly the product, byproduct of these fires in Canada. And I haven't noticed the air quality around here in Boston being any worse, but they've been trying to really amp this up, and it looks like some kind of a natural tragedy, but we'll see what's going on with it. We are going to fill those skies up tonight, though, with flying objects.
Okay.
Unidentified variety. You know the type? So we have a special report here, which is all about the UFO file wars and the opsters involved. And these are the government opsters amping up the UFO file threat, the UFO threat that they can pander and sort of get the public in a rush about the whole thing and move into emergency powers. This is important because this is something we've been tracking on a regular basis on this program of X-Steganography. And it relates to this advanced technology rollout, or as we like to say, the breakaways breaking back in, as it were. They've been harboring that advanced technology for about 8 decades. And how do you get that back into the system and sort of explain yourself? Well, you might do it through the idea of a whistleblower and a wild story. Does that feel like deja vu?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting in this case. I was feeling a lot of deja vu when this story came out, and people have already done some good reporting on it. And, you know, straight up, it is the case of someone who is a decorated veteran who quit at the age of 36 and became a real estate agent in Colorado and suddenly showed up on everybody's radar as this UFO whistleblower. It's an interesting trajectory, to say the least. But some of the things that he came out there and recounted didn't have any support, and just what he had to say about it. No pictures, no documents, zero. But what's interesting about it is the level to which it was run through that whole national media and really kind of taken around the world as the story of the decade. And then, well, this is disclosure and, you know, finally we have it and all the rest. When, in fact, we have seen these types of people come out before, say things, and then that's the end of it. Now, what's interesting about this case, in my opinion, is the level to which the things are claimed. So this is someone who says that inside the military, he's heard of, now he hasn't seen, but he's heard of, some incredible crashed saucers and vehicles and things, and even alien bodies. So this is all very interesting because of the nature of it. And if you get it even a little bit, we're just introduced to this character. If you get even a half inch deep, he's already connected to Lou Elizondo, who was the huge fraudster who brought us the TTSA phony story in the New York Times, which we're going to go through this whole trajectory and sequence tonight. And on the other end of things, people like Stephen Greer have said, oh, yeah, this guy, you know, he came in to the whole circuit with me and I gave him information, all this stuff. So this guy has been in the element collecting info, data mining and all the rest. So how much that has influenced his own story is pretty interesting. And then finally, last but not least, when we get into this story just a little bit deep, you're surrounded by the NRO, highly secretive, the Central Intelligence Agency, running away with the UFO file. X-Protect, you better believe it. And you are instantly surrounded by all the same people who brought you the TTSA UFO fraud. Here's the thing that's interesting in relation to this. Now, our position, of course, is the UFO file is real. Advanced craft, saucers, UFOs, that's all real. And there's incredible researchers that have done decades of research around it. They've lived and died looking for the truth on it. And the CIA and the government stonewalled them, in many cases took away their living, and in some cases got rid of them completely. So that's what the government actually needs to account for. That's actual disclosure. And then in terms of the advanced craft and things, this is something that's a worldwide phenomenon. And all the governments of the world, including the United States, have led the charge of blocking access to this information. So that part's real. The problem is what we have is a disclosure group, in quotes, inside the Central Intelligence Agency that keeps rolling out stories of disclosure so that they can take this information they've been holding from the public and use it to create a UFO threat situation and therefore move into an emergency powers stance where the NORAD commander takes control through the continuity of government program. This is a very interesting sort of thread they've been laying out there. A lot of the UFO researchers fell down on the job when the CIA came forward with the TTSA group, with Tom DeLonge and all the CIA people like Jim Semivan, who created the corporation. And Jim Semivan was such a secret high-level CIA agent that his actual identity wasn't even known until 2015, so secret were his activities. And he's a 25-year high-level veteran. That's Jim Semivan, who launched TTSA and the DeLonge op and all that stuff. Now, the New York Times got behind an article in relation to this. We're going to get a lot of deja vu tonight. And it is the mirror image of all the things that are going on in relation to this story with Grush, David Grush, the whistleblower, quote unquote. So we're going to get into all this tonight in this special report. And it is UFO File Wars, the Government Opsters, and the UFO threat on overdrive. This is where we're going. We're going to, well, at the end of the program, we'll take some of your questions. We might just take them as we go along. We're going to do a short special report. It's just going to be about an hour because I put together some info on this. I wanted to make sure everyone had it. Before we go any further, I want to remind you to go to darkjournalist.com and sign up for our newsletter. That's a free newsletter. But this is something that keeps us in touch through the intense, hardcore censorship that we've been seeing. And it's more off the charts now than ever. But, you know, basically, you'll get that newsletter once a week. It'll let you know the incredible, and I mean remarkable, stories and shows that we have coming up for you, things that'll blow your mind for the month of June. And not only that, but documentaries and events and things that are coming. So make sure that you stand up and be counted and you're on that newsletter list, including a very special interview on Friday. Okay, so just remember you heard it here first, but if you're on that newsletter list, you're going to get all the details. And how are we doing out there?
Doing great. Provoked Patriot says, this, quote, whistleblower is peddling BS. So obviously an actor, so convenient his sources can't be revealed. And Lady Blah Blah says, it's just Elizondo playbook all over again.
Well, that's really true. Elizondo is instantly what I went to. As a matter of fact, this guy also, you know, his story could get revealed through the Inspector General complaint, which is exactly the mechanism that they used for Elizondo. We're going to go through the kind of superficial details of the story, and then I'm going to show you the deeper layers and the interconnections of what's going on here and how the COG players are hanging out with the CIA players in the background on this one and serving up another hors d'oeuvre in the UFO file buffet. This one definitely a deep sort of a Hail Mary pass because they want to advance the process quickly, because whatever it is that's going on, whether it's the rise of Bobby Kennedy in the presidential race, whether it's the numbers of Trump supporters that are going on, which those numbers are through the roof, whatever it is they need to get away from, including that disastrous debt ceiling deal that the Republicans agreed to and the Democrats put out there with $6 trillion of wasteful spending at levels that were seen during the pandemic and completely unnecessary for the period that we're in. We're deep into that, and Stepford Biden is more clueless than ever. And he's being run by a kind of a cabal junta in the background, a committee that are putting forward ideas and putting us on the very front lines of World War III and a nuclear war with Russia So we need to be rescued by the situation, and we need that to take place at the top. I know a lot of people are fond of saying presidential races don't matter. We need to replace the Biden regime, and it's got to be soon. We cannot afford for them to get in office again. So this has got to be all hands on deck. And what I sense in the, some of the things I've reported on is the Kennedy forces moving in, on one hand, to shake up the race and take over the Democratic nomination. And he is well positioned to be the Democratic nominee if that machinery can be exposed that's just holding Biden in place. And what they're doing with Biden is very familiar and suspicious. They're not letting him participate actually in Iowa or New Hampshire. So, you know, in my opinion, that's a dead giveaway that this guy just can't hold it together. And they're going to try to sort of rifle Kennedy out of the race by saying, you know, oh, he's a crazed anti-vaxxer and all these things. When in fact, he's the most well-read on all the subjects that dog our country right now. And right now, he's actually at the border, which is quite fascinating. Mentioning Kennedy, though, I wanted to say this, that I've been saying that the Trump campaign, this is very interesting, that the Trump campaign and the Kennedy campaign need to get out ahead of this disclosure thing and be right on with a UFO file protocol policy. And they need to be right at the heart of this issue. I've been saying this for months. Now, it's interesting because with this story, you can see they're ready to roll out some of these things and false disclosure, CIA disclosure, whatever it happens to be. But we can get them positioned into the real thing if we have the right people at the helm. But these candidates need to get on and on top of the UFO file piece. So Trump, with his background through his uncle and everything else, there's a lot, the Space Force, there's a lot of the UFO file there. What we're seeing instead is people like DeSantis getting out in front of it, and Bigelow pledging his fortune and saying he'll starve, you know, as long as Ron DeSantis can become president. Highly suspicious activity under any political season, but when you include the UFO file injected into this one, watch out, okay? But this I was very happy to see because RFK Jr., you know, we don't know, he hasn't really spoken about the UFO file, and we have an interview coming up, and I plan to talk to him about it. But here he says, remember UFOs were the very essence of conspiracy theory. The term was practically invented for it. People who spoke out were ridiculed and their careers destroyed. Our government did that. There's that direct line to his uncle and his father battling X-Protect and this group and the aerospace wing that had taken over the UFO file. And now we have it right there in Bobby Kennedy's own statement. Very important move in the midst of all this. So there's good UFO news mixed with this whole BS news. I want to say again, when it comes to the UFO file, I've known some of the deepest researchers on it, including late Stanton Friedman. The late Paul Hellyer was a regular on this program, and he was the former defense minister, knew all about the UFO file. I've had NORAD officers and all kinds of people talk to me about the UFO file. I'm going to reveal, because one of the things that came up in this whistleblower's story was he said that he knew the name of a crash retrieval program. He didn't reveal what it was, so he could have been just saying anything. You know, it's easy to say things without backing it up. But nonetheless, I found it interesting enough to put on the record a name tonight for a program inside the UFO file dealing with crash retrievals that I've got from several sources. So we'll see if and when the name of his program ever comes up, it's the same one. So we're going to get into that tonight. Totally different from the Blue Secret Space Program name that I've figured out over time. That's more of a steganography thing based on my research. This other name is from something that was given to me and I had to figure out as an anagram. So boy, a lot of fun doing this job. You know what it is. So before I jump in, Miss Olivia, how are you doing out there?
Plan B says, DJ, you need to school RFK Jr. on the UFO situation because I'm scared he might take the bait.
I think that he knows some of it, and that when he gets into it, he's someone who's able to master a subject quickly. We've seen it on a few things. And I think it is something that he needs a high-level briefing on. I'd be very happy to deliver that in relation to this. Okay, So guess what? When I go to come out as a whistleblower and tell you all that my alien stories are true, guess what I do? I pose with all my medals. Gee, you know, that happened pretty quickly. David Grush, Air Force, NRO. Well, he was part of the UAP task force. I dealt a little bit with those people. I was not impressed. National Geospatial Intel Agency. The intel fingerprints on this guy are as high level as you get, including the fact that the chief spook, the inspector general of the intelligence community, retired, is his lawyer. You don't get any higher level on the CIA side than that, unless the director himself reps you. That's hardcore. As I said, he retired at the age of 36. He's now a real estate agent in Colorado. And he gave his testimony to Congress in April. And what's interesting in relation to this is when his story came out, it was very coached. One, I didn't like that. Two, there were a number of media outlets lined up in a certain way. And the main media outlets, including the Washington Post and the New York Times, wanted to take a little bit more time with this. And something crossed my mind immediately when it came up, which was that the same two people that brought us the bogus New York Times story, rolled out Elizondo, and we had to suffer through 5 years of that nonsense. And let's not forget that Elizondo became the GQ hero and everything else. But, you know, what's interesting to me is these are the same exact people, in fact. And that is Leslie Kane and her writing partner, Blumenthal. Now, something a little bit went wrong because after this debrief article, the debrief is also a little funky, and I'll tell you, there's some odd things there, because the debrief, I remember distinctly, came out on this website was launched someday in December a couple of years ago, and the first day that they came out, CNN and everybody else picked up the story that they had, and I was like, wow, that's fast action. Can you imagine that? Your first day as a website and everybody has your story? And it turned out to be a bogus story, and it, you know, it had this whole thing about this bat balloon, and they thought it was a UFO and all the rest. But this is the kind of clickbait journalism that you see going hardcore. But the problem with the debrief thing is they are taking the, you know, the intel community's word for everything. And so they, you know, they love the TTSA op, they love all those things, and they love the Elizondos and all the world. So they're the ones who launched this one. The New York Times, the Washington Post said, oh, we need more time to look at this guy. And it's interesting because Leslie Kane, who plays a very big role in this, remember, Leslie Kane has been well rewarded for rolling out this version of Disclosure, Netflix programs. You know, she has now a whole movie coming out on HBO, which she wrote, which is a biography of Lou Elizondo. I kid you not. So, you know, it pays to play ball with the brass. What's interesting to me, though, when I look at Kane is there's a lot of different signatures there with her. And what I think is happening is the intel forces are trying to use her to dangle out these different characters. One of the problems is her own background is Governor Thomas Kane. That's her uncle. And he was the head of the 9/11 commission. So you've got an injection of politics right from the word go. But Kane here, just like when she launched the New York Times article, here she is at the forefront again with her old pal, Ralph Blumenthal. And it's funny because Blumenthal has, you know, done some good UFO stories in the past, back there, maybe like 20 years ago. And Kane herself seems to have some awareness of the UFO issue. She was the partner of Bud Hopkins, who was, you know, the abduction king. He knew the whole thing. He was the one who introduced John Mack to the subject, and he went very deep on it. And interestingly enough, she never mentions him, and her whole thing is, you know, don't mention alien bodies, just talk about the craft. Well, those sound like instructions to me. So one of the things that she put forward was this. Her and her writing partner wrote, to be clear, the Washington Post did not pass on our story. Ralph and I took it to the debrief because we were under growing pressure to publish it very quickly. I'm going to show you the sequence and why that needed to be published very quickly. The Post needed more time and we couldn't wait. All right, that's a bad sign. To be clear, now here's Ralph Blumenthal saying it. To be clear, the Washington Post did not pass on our UAP story. Leslie and I took it to the debrief. It's exactly the same text, but switching the characters. So not a good sign, really. Now, let's just take a little walk down memory lane here for a second. Glowing Auras and Black Money, the Pentagon's mysterious UFO program. Who do we see involved there? Well, we see Leslie Kane, Ralph Blumenthal, but also Helene Cooper. Helene Cooper's involved with this article too. So it's the Three Musketeers together again. And Helene Cooper did a very interesting thing when we were having this interesting process going on where they were talking about UFO shoot downs in February because they had this Chinese balloon. But then suddenly these other things started to show up. Well, this was a dry run for a continuity of government program involving a UFO threat. The person who came forward and asked General Van Herk, who's the combatant commander of the United States, if they press the continuity of government button, he's the NORTHCOM commander and he's the NORAD commander. He's a triple threat. And that's General Van Herk, who remembers from the 509th group, as I've pointed out in this program. And the 509th is the same bomber group that picked up the Roswell wreckage way back in 1947. Now, he wasn't around then, but there's a lineage in this group. There's a signature and a fingerprint with it. Well, Helene Cooper said, are these extraterrestrials? And he gave this as his response. He said, I'm not ruling anything out, meaning that the balloons could be aliens. He knew that that was going to be picked up and run through all this. So that was part of the program they were running to kick off the year. This is part of the UFO ramp up. And by the time they get to next year, we're going to be deep, deep in the soup of CIA disclosure. And I'm going to show you how. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Special Report. Tonight, something very special for you. This is the UFO File Wars, Government Opsters, and the UFO Threat Push, which is on overdrive right now. We're going to take some of your questions when we round out. We're just going to do about another 45 minutes here. And before I go any further, Miss Olivia, how are you doing?
Neva Moore says, Greer's doing a disclosure event on 6/12 in D.C., another opster. And the Philip K. Dick Film Festival says, was the pressure to preempt Greer, perhaps?
See, a lot of people, that's a really good point. A lot of people are positioning right now. That's why I've been saying these presidential campaigns need to get ahead of this, because there's some disclosure in the background mix and everybody wants to be on that gravy train. All the people who've come forward in Congress who are suddenly highly enthusiastic for this, and the people who created the ARRO, the Anomalous Research Resolution Office, Advanced Anomalous Resolution Office. This is interesting too, because they're both on opposite sides of the spectrum. Rubio's a Republican. Gillibrand's a Democrat. Gillibrand is associated with the NXIVM cult. Her husband was the lawyer for it. So that was a little tricky thing there with Keith Raniere and all that strangeness that went down. But the other thing about Gillibrand is when she ran for president, this came up over and over again. So the other thing is that her husband's dad was the head of British Aerospace. So something weird with these guys getting together on this, Rubio being on the Space Coast, suddenly he became the ultimate UFO champion. Where did that come from? Why is he even interested in the UFO file? This gets us into very, very deep territory. And what are those combinations? What are these Congress people being told? Ruben Gallego in Arizona. It's another congressman has identified himself heavily with this, you know, UAP transparency. Remember, UAP is the CIA term. It's nothing to do with UFOs. They just made it up, just like they made up Homeland Security. And the reason is because when you are subjugating an entire line of research, you need to give it something other than its original character. So you need to give it another name. That's why Homeland, for example, which they always talk about defending and which our friend Van Herk talks about defending, you know, it has nothing to do with the United States of America. The United States of America, after all, has a constitution, has all these other things. But if you say Homeland, hey, you're just talking about something that Van Herk and his NORTHCOM people are in charge of. That's totally different. And by the way, we didn't have NORTHCOM running America until the 9/11 attacks. And then they said, well, because of this, we need a military group dedicated to just subjugating the U.S. in the event of an emergency. We'll just keep a permanent emergency after 9/11. How does that sound? That's the nature of what we're under. And when they bring on the UFO threat file, you know, I've said this for years and people have heard me say it, you know, if you think the COVID op was bad, just wait till you get to the UFO threat file. And it's interesting too, because we've got people, now there was a horrible display at Contact in the Desert. I've got all these reports from Contact in the Desert, looking very tired out there. You know, they're doing the same old stuff. It was about half the attendance that they used to have. And, you know, it just, it was a mess. Contact in the Desert was always, you know, they were always pumping up a lot of phony stuff anyway, but this was a particularly bad one. But in the middle of all of that, you had Dolan was doing a presentation. Someone sent me this clip, and he was talking about when the story came up about the whistleblower. He started talking and musing about Elizondo and how it turned out that Elizondo was everything that he said he was. Well, no. The New York Post, the Black Vault, dark journalist, we've all proven that Elizondo was not what he said he was, that he lied in public and he was one of the grossest liars ever forced on the American people. And that was totally a sham. So why are these UFO people still clinging on to it? It's very strange. And I'll tell you, it's so strange, it has a little bit of a Twilight Zone feeling to it. But nonetheless, they'll cling to the last day. You know, I guess if he was in jail and, you know, he was branded as somebody who had lied for the last 5 years, Dolan would still say, well, he was right. You know, I mean, what is going on here? So what is the nature of the problem? And so that whole line of defense for the UFO field is gone. You know, the UFO field might need to start completely over from the burned ashes of what the CIA did to it through the TTSA and these people. So what we got instead is this official weird version where they want to fund these programs. What this is going to turn into is a UFO defense office, UFO DOE. That's where Arrow is headed. And the DO there, you might as well just spell it D-O-U-G-H because they have a lot of money planned. Okay, so here I am. I am David Grush, and I am coming forward, and I'm saying all this stuff, and I'm doing it through the Inspector General, because I'm making a complaint through the Inspector General that since I wanted to give these revelations out, I'm being retaliated against inside the military. Well, guess who also said that? Our friend, the courageous leader of the UFO program, ATIP, which didn't exist. Now, very interestingly, this guy was able to put himself forward as the leader of a program which was never funded, and later he had to admit was not an actual program, it was an activity that he was doing. Well, you know, playing darts is an activity, Lou. That's not a program. But this guy, according to Brian Bender, and I swear to God, there's like a almost like a psychic thing that goes on with the X series sometimes. I brought up Brian Bender for the first time in like 2 years in the last show, and I was talking about him in relation to the fact that he had moved on from Politico, where he was doing this thing about UFO threats and all the rest. And it was like a TTSA thing. It was just a little small segment. Well, Brian Bender comes out as soon as this whistleblower hits and says, I remember this guy. Lou was grooming him last year. Now, Bender is the guy who's in a position to know that because he was part of the TTSA push after all. And so we have somebody here coming forward as a whistleblower on the UFO side saying there's bodies and all this stuff, who is copying the playbook of Elizondo. And again, Elizondo didn't grant us any real disclosure. This was a CIA program. He was under CIA, DIA control the whole time. And I'm going to show you some other weird things between the two of them. And the person who they did a dry run for this, but the person behind the whole thing is Chris Mellon, who is, as we know, from TTSA. He's the guy who, after they got rid of the Bobo out there, Tom DeLong, we've got here in this picture, you got DeLong, Elizondo, and Mellon. Now, as we know, Chris Mellon's cousin, John Warner, the son of Senator John Warner from Virginia, has come on this program exposing what these people are up to. And we're going to have John come back as well And John's statements have really gotten a lot of attention in intel circles, behind the scenes in the media. There's a lot coming out from the things that he's put on the record. So I'm very grateful for getting him on this. But Mellon, Chris Mellon, is the DOD official under Clinton and then W. Bush, who's been pushing this, and he has been behind a number of these things. Now, before we got David Grush, which with his big revelations about everything and all the headlines, they did a dry run just a few days before it using Mellon. This is what I find interesting, is there's a lot of dry runs and there's a lot of mirroring going on in these ops. I'm going to show you exactly what I mean. Now, here's a sequence of events I want us to follow to unravel this thing. And we'll do about another 20 minutes of this and we'll take some questions.
Okay.
Here's the sequence of events. Gary Nolan, who is an immunologist, Stanford professor, good friends and high-fiving Fauci online, and saying you're a spectacular servant and all that kind of stuff. He went, that's his high-fiving. Thank you, Dr. Fauci, for your tremendously positive contributions to immunology and virology. Now, think about somebody like Fauci, you know, sort of modern-day Mengele in charge of the UFO file. That's where you're getting with Nolan here. That's who he's shouting out to. Those are his pals, okay? And that's one of the reasons why he blocked me on Twitter, because I asked him about this. What he does is very interesting. He goes and he attends this SALT conference. Now, a SALT conference, you might think, hey, you know, it's like a science thing. He's going to talk about UFOs or whatever, UAP. No, you know what he does? SALT conference is actually for raising venture capital. And that's where a lot of these people are coming from, because they know the breakaway train is coming on in. It's going to stop in DC soon. Mm-hmm. Highly respected Stanford scientist confirms a non-human intelligence has visited Earth. Okay, are you ready? This is May 18th. Okay. Think of the setup here. They're greasing the skids so that David Grush can show up. This is the first salvo. Boom. Okay. I guess you could say the COG commander, you know, doing the NORAD shootdowns in February was really the original salvo. But let's just follow this tight, tight timeline. Okay. Next up, UFO reverse engineering project should be made public. Ex-Intel official. You might think, hey, this is the Grush thing. Is that what that is? No. Do you know who that's about? That's a Newsweek article. That's their lead article. Quote, a former intelligence official is calling on the federal government to make information public about reverse engineering project involving unidentified flying objects. Are you ready? UFO sightings have long piqued the interest of billions of people across the globe for centuries. La, la, la. Christopher Mellon, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence, specializes in UFOs, wrote in a political opinion piece published Saturday that he has received reports that the government has engaged in reverse engineering projects. This headline, exactly the same headline as Grush's headline about reverse engineering and all the rest, but they did a dry run of it on June 3rd. There it is. It's in Newsweek. It was in Politico. It was the whole thing. It was the follow-up to Nolan's thing. Now, in the middle of that, between the 18th and the 3rd, there was a mishap. The mishap was by Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp. And what happened there, if any of you are paying close attention, is that they stumbled and they said, oh, we've got this incredible thing. We've been working on it for 2 years, and they put it out and it was a total joke. It was flares at a military base, and it was debunked in about 20 minutes. Everybody laughed it off and it was a disaster. And again, remember, you know, the UFO file is real. So whenever they do these false clown shows around it and it discredits the subject any, it makes people more cynical or whatever it would happen to be. That's not a good thing. So, you know, when we get into this, we have to see the manipulation layer in relation to it without throwing out the subject, which is very important, the hardcore piece of the UFO file right in the middle there. So that was another piece of this thing that went awry. And what was the next thing? Well, the follow-up was NASA. NASA decided, hey, we're doing this whole UFO thing. And they all timed it for this two-week period. And the big flower cherry on top is the Grush reveal, which now we've revealed that Grush is connected directly, not only with the Central Intelligence Agency, with the NRO, which is one of the most secret agencies of all. We didn't even know it existed until 30 years after it was put together. And also he has, you know, somebody who's associated with Stephen Greer, which is interesting because at a certain point, you know, it almost sounds like he cut Greer loose or something along that line, suggesting to me that he just went in there to kind of siphon off any kind of info and do some data mining, which, you know, guys in his profession are pretty good at intelligence, right? Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show deep, deep here tonight, revealing the sequence of events that got us to the whistleblower. Now we're going to read some of the whistleblower's comments. This is DJ UFO File Wars and Opsters. And we're looking at a lot of those Opsters tonight. The Opsters are people who are taking place, taking their role in the play, as it were. And we see a heck of a lot of them on the rampage right now. We're going to do about another 20 minutes here. And of course, we'll do a more fleshed out version of this special report for you coming up. But I wanted to make sure we got on the record pretty quickly with this. And we'll take some of your questions right at the very end of the show. Before I go any further, Miss Olivia.
Blacks Parson says, bottom line, if you haven't put in a bunch of work into UFO research, it's going to be hard to make any sense of this mess. Old Gaffer says, DJ can sort this all out. And Jay McMurphy, 321, says, DJ exposing the wizards of ops.
Isn't that really true? Well, I think it's interesting with the Opsters because what happens is you get the public over here, the wide mass of the public, and there's some level of belief in UFOs, but not the in-depth, you know, research or experience with it. They've just heard something about it or they're interested enough. Then you get people who are particularly interested in it and have felt frustrated that the government has stonewalled so much. And then you have skeptics and stuff over here. But the people that they're concentrating on, there's like a weird gateway drug thing going on. They're trying to get the people who are interested in it, but who are frustrated by the government secrecy. They're trying to give them the thing that they want. And it's a false disclosure. And they figure with that false disclosure, what they can do is they can easily herd in the people who aren't very familiar with it. So if somebody just picks it up and says, oh, it looks like somebody revealed that there are aliens, you know, when in fact, this guy didn't reveal anything. You know, if you want a government official who's gone on the record saying there are alien bodies, things of this nature, you know, I've quoted him on this program, Robert Sarbarker. He did it in the 50s. He did it in the 1980s. The second time he did it, I think it was so, you know, it was such a hot button thing that I think they bumped him off quickly. And they were like, we don't want this guy around. But Sarbarker said, yeah, you know, I participated in the crash retrieval programs. We reverse engineered the craft and there were bodies. They were kind of like insects and we figured they were created by somebody. And he said, I don't know why they never let the full story out. And he said, he listed the different leaders of the UFO file, including Vannevar Bush. And there were all kinds of interesting threads that we followed off of that, including the fact that Vannevar Bush protege at MIT was John Trump. And he sent John Trump, who was Donald Trump's uncle, off to investigate Tesla's papers when Tesla died. So there's a whole thing about X technology in the middle of that. As far as I can tell you on this, what they're trying to do over and over again is reinvent the disclosure idea so that, you know, basically you think the UFO file started yesterday and that we just discovered this thing and they're just trying to figure out what's going on out there because we just started to notice these things. Hey, look, we just adjusted the sensors and there's all these UFOs out there. I didn't know that. Hey, look, there used to be all these balloons that could come in and out and now we can see them because we changed the sensors. So there's a number of things going on there that they're trying to trick a very gullible public with and a public that really hasn't had the time to pay attention to this. The problem is that the UFO field itself got thrown over by the intelligence groups, and it became their lapdog, basically supporting them. And, you know, they pumped a lot of money into it with their TV shows and their different types of support. I mean, they, at one point with the To the Stars Academy, they were $50 million in debt as a company. So that's a lot of money to throw around in the UFO field. Doesn't see that kind of money. But it gets us to the nature of the points of the deep truth and deep transparency that's required for the period that we're in. And, you know, that kind of transparency in government is crucial because people don't believe a number of the things that the government is putting out. And the government over and over again is caught lying and abusing power and, you know, chasing their opponents and things of this nature. Before I go any further, I want to point out a couple of these. One, this is interesting, Glenn Greenwald's story. Please remember that this family, the Soros family, uses its vast wealth to influence politics across the globe more than any other, is strictly off limits from being mentioned, let alone criticized, in the media. Thank you for your understanding. Alexander Soros, June 6th, great to catch up with Madame Vice President. You know, these things are real. The influence peddling that's going on there is beyond the pale. And Fauci, of course, was a big piece of that as well. The way that they ran the Fauci op and how it touched every angle of our lives, including travel and food and everything else, and breathing and walking around in masks, is exactly the model for what they want to do with the UFO file. And they try, there's some weird crisscross in the back of this with the climate change piece, but it requires the UFO threat. This is what they figure that they can consolidate power with. And so the threat aspect is one part of it. The other piece of it is what they've kept secret for decades in the government. Now, there's a deeper part, which if you follow the X series, you know, which is some of the ancient mystery schools kept the secrets of advanced technology from back then. So you're dealing with a wide variety of things. But for this special report, we're just dealing with that window of the, you know, the 40s crashes of these UFOs and the wide scale flying saucer reports, bringing us into this era after the severe, heavy duty development and censorship of the issue and eliminating by groups like X-Protect, eliminating the outspoken smart people who had figured these things out. So the Donald Kehoes, you know, and all that, James McDonald, making sure those guys were discredited one way or another. And not to mention the fact of going after their political enemies with the Justice Department, which is happening in the Trump case. Trump's indictment looms in the Mar-a-Lago case. They have one case against President Trump in Manhattan, which is Stormy Daniels. That's the first time a sitting president has been indicted for anything, or a former sitting president. And then the idea that you can have somebody who's the leading Republican candidate for president suffering under the Department of Justice, and, you know, they're breaking all the rules for this. Now they're going for an indictment of Trump. Now, this is interesting because they're doing that on that level. They're doing it on the Stormy Daniels level, and then they're going to go for it in Georgia with a voter case. So they have to make sure that Trump is penned in, that he does not have a chance to win. And his own plans include, you know, winning and getting out of that legal mess. Now, it's interesting because all of those cases look like absolutely nothing. The Stormy Daniels case, completely ridiculous, discredited by any legal expert with a brain. The classified documents case is a weird one because it seems to me that it's more of a tactic, and a blackmail source tactic to say, we'll go after you, but if you get out of the presidential race, we won't do this. Because everyone has had, on that presidential level, all kinds of classified material. That's literally the way it goes. Obama left with 5 million documents. You mean none of them are classified? Come on. So, you know, they have this thing lined up, but they also have it lined up and rigged against our friend Bobby Kennedy, because they're saying, you know, oh, you know, he's a dangerous fringe character and all the rest of it. This is going to be crucial that everything is going to be on the table, and it's going to include the COVID op. It's going to include the abuse of government power through the Department of Justice. It's going to include the UFO file. It's going to include the fact that the government assassinated and murdered the sitting president in 1963 and hid that fact from the public. And then from there, took us down Alice in Wonderland Road, where the media lied about it, and anyone who spoke out against it was discredited and all the rest of it. And as far as, you know, the history books are concerned, they have this completely phony story about Lee Harvey Oswald. Well, what I've really put on the record with this is when you expose the UFO file, you expose the JFK assassination, because he was assassinated over the UFO file. And further, when you open up the JFK records, you're going to get to the UFO file. This is the secret that's sort of hanging out in the middle of all this. We need to be very aware of. Okay, a couple of quotes from our whistleblower friend, and then we'll wrap up our report here. Everyone, it's great to see so many of you here with us. This is our special report, Dark Journalist UFO File Wars and the Government Opsters Going for the Real UFO File Threat Overdrive. You ain't seen nothing yet. Okay. Military whistleblower goes public with claims U.S. has secret UFO retrieval program, terrestrial arms race. This headline could have easily been Elizondo or it could have been Mellon, but this is the new headline for Grush. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. We don't get fooled again. It's interesting. Let's take a listen here to a couple of things that he had to say. Quote, this is from the debrief article now. We're not talking about prosaic origins or identities, Grush said of the information he submitted to Congress and the intelligence community, Inspector General. The materials include intact and partially intact vehicles. Now, there are vehicles in the possession of the government from crash retrievals. That is, off-world craft, UFOs, however you want to define them. We do have those. So remember that what they need to do on this whistleblower side is dangle out the truth and come to a false disclosure. So they're going to use aspects of the actual situation. So when I'm sort of pegging down the things that he's coming forward with, he's using the real information, but he is coming forward in a false fashion, and I'll show you why. Grush also sat down for an interview with News Nation, claiming that many senior and former intelligence officers, many of whom he knew nearly his whole career, began confiding in him and providing documents and other proof that they were part of a secret craft retrieval program that the UAP task force was not read into. Now, this is interesting. There's a lot of, you know, oh, they shared all this stuff with me, but you can't see it. Because it's classified after all. But of course, if they were sharing it with him, it would have been classified, which means they would have been in breach of their own protocols showing it to him. So there is a whistleblower statute that they came forward with very conveniently associated with Arrow. But Arrow's not getting into this guy, and he went around Arrow and went to the Inspector General. So something weird is afoot in the middle of all this, but I'll keep going. These are retrieving non-human origin technical vehicles. Call it spacecraft, if you will. Was it spacecraft? I mean, why would I call it spacecraft? Are you saying it's spacecraft? Non-human exotic origin vehicles that have either landed or crashed. Alien crashed retrievals? Is that what you mean? Well, naturally, when you recover something that's either landed or crashed, sometimes you encounter dead pilots, believe it or not, as fantastical as that sounds. It's true. Sometimes you do. This is all hypothetical language. He's not saying, you know, I have seen a dead alien pilot of a crash. He says, sometimes you see that when these things crash. Isn't that interesting? So all the language is loosey-goosey. And now I've heard that this guy has a deal already for a History Channel documentary. And the way that this press rollout came, you know, with debrief and then News Nation and the way that they lined this up and how Leslie Kane was under pressure to get it out quickly and the Washington Post were kind of holding up their train tells me that there's some, you know, there's some program that's afoot here that they're speeding up. Okay, let's keep going. We're definitely not alone, he said. The data points quite empirically that we're not alone. Well, that's your supposition. Do you have any proof? Okay, no proof to the public, but don't worry. He's got that proof in the background because people talk to him. Grush told the debrief that unidentified flying objects legacy programs have long been concealed within multiple agencies nesting UAP activities and conventional secret access programs without appropriate reporting or various oversight. That's the same thing that we got out of the Elizondo program, but Elizondo was controlled by an intelligence group and he ended up lying a lot. So this guy being groomed by Elizondo, it doesn't lend itself initially to feeling like there's any truth-telling going on here, but it does feel obster-ish, hardcore. Okay, let's go a little bit further. In the article, there's something very sneaky that happens, which I don't like, and the debrief is famous for this. They knew that the headline that they needed was, intelligence officer says there's off-world crashes or whatever. And embedded in there could have been, well, the State Department or the Defense Department denied this or Arrow denied it, which later they did. These guys didn't even check with them because they didn't want that included. So in there, they start talking all about this Jonathan Gray guy. And Jonathan Gray, he says all this wild stuff. Here's a little Jonathan Gray for you. Ready? By the way, who the hell is Jonathan Gray? I'm going to tell you in a minute. Jonathan Gray is a generational officer of the U.S. intelligence community with a top secret clearance. Currently works for the National Air and Space Intelligence Center, where the analysis of UAP has been his focus. He was in private aerospace, DOD, special directives, and he says, quote, and by the way, they use his quotes as the ones when they put this story out. He's the pull quote through almost all the headlines. The non-human intelligence phenomena is real. We are not alone, Gray said. Retrievals of this kind are not limited to the United States. This is a global phenomenon, yet a global solution continues to elude us. And he goes off and he talks about, aliens and all the rest of it. Now, Jonathan Gray does not exist. Or I should say, Jonathan Gray is a pseudonym for someone they say exists. No accountability, nothing. Just some off-the-record source that they're calling Jonathan Gray. But you don't find out when they say Jonathan Gray here that he is just somebody's pseudonym. So we don't know. There's no way to check anything that he says. But all the pull quotes, now they're showing Grush, he's doing his thing, and he says things that sound a lot like Gray. But Gray is out there saying the really wild stuff. Oh, we have all this stuff. It's a global phenomena. Non-human intelligence is real. All this stuff. Those are the pull quotes from this guy who can't be identified. He's completely anonymous. John Gray, could be anybody. They could have made it up. So there's nothing to that. There's no backbone to any of that. Let's go a little further. At the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, Grush served as Senior Intelligence Capabilities Integration Officer, cleared to top secret, secret compartmentalized information levels, blah, blah, blah. From 2016 to 2021, he served with the NRO, as I said, besides the CIA, the most secretive, NSA, NRO, and CIA, the most secretive levels of the government. And if anything, anything that they have to say publicly is taken with a dramatic grain of salt because they're always considering their enemies, including the American public. So they're not going to put anything on the record that is of any substantial value. So when you catch them saying this stuff, it's for a reason. They want it out there. Here's another thing, which is when he put his statements out and he was dealing with all these press people and all the rest of it, the Department of Defense didn't say, oh, you can't release those secrets. How dare you? You know what they said? No, that's okay. Go ahead. Here's a little signed statement. Say whatever the hell you want. So that's odd, too. Let's face it. And suspiciously, very much like when I told you the COG commander, Terrence O'Shaughnessy, quit early, when they retire early, that's odd, too. So when he retires at 36 from all this and then goes to Colorado, and it's in that place where he is that, there's a lot of obsters and including Gaia TV down there, that made me a little cautious about this whole thing. When I heard things about the deals with History Channel and all the rest of it, and then I heard Ryan Graves, the Navy pilot, backing him up. Now it's interesting to me, and Elizondo, Graves is a defense contractor So Graves is the guy who saw the Tic Tac and all the rest of it. Now, here's what's interesting. He saw it during a training exercise. A lot of the things that these people have seen, Navy pilots have reported seeing the real thing for years, right? But now we have this kind of select group, the copyrighted trademarked group. And part of that trademark is like when you see the Corbell thing, you see the same, you know, kind of crap footage over and over again of this thing, right? TTSA, that's TTSA trademark. Well, the other crap thing that we kept seeing was in relation to Corbell. Everywhere you'd see these bad balloons or whatever it was, say copyright Corbell. So they're trying to incorporate the UFO file so that these are the channels. That's why Corbell and Knapp don't talk to civilians anymore about anything. They just get military footage and they get to copyright it. And, you know, Fox News and CNN and all the rest of it need ratings. And they keep saying, oh, hey, oh my God, there's a UFO thing. Look at this. And they're under orders to let the UFO faucet flow. And this is the nature of the problem, because it's the Central Intelligence Agency working through the media to get this out there as a viable threat. And we are in the middle of it. And what you have is the only last defense of anything, or would be the people who know about the UFO subject. And they're all being kind of bought into this because they're like, hey, it's a whistleblower. So the nature of the field is upside down. And what we need to get to the bottom of it is to expose the players, the opsters. So you have the X players on top. You can have good X players and bad X players, but they're the real hardcore people. And then you have the opsters, and those are the people on the secondary level who are being fed this stuff. And this is the nature of it. And below them, you know, the Bobos and things like that. Now, this is interesting. If you go and you check, here, there was a glitch in the rollout, and I'll tell you what it was. Leslie Kane, who they used for the original one, as I said, and they used for this one. Well, she didn't like the fact that after the fact of her putting out her debrief article, that the whistleblower, David Grush, starts talking about alien bodies. That's a big no-no. For her, her whole thing has been don't talk about the bodies. Remember, she doesn't even talk about Bud Hopkins, who she lived with for 12 years, and his work with abductions. So in this, from the Black Vault, it says, Leslie Kane, in Ralph Blumenthal's interview on Debrief Media, Kane states that the UFO whistleblower's claim about dead pilots and bodies from non-human craft was never discussed with her. She doesn't want to talk about it, nor would she have published it. Well, if he was the whistleblower and he said, I saw dead aliens, wouldn't you publish it? I mean, you're a journalist. Would you have left that out? It's weird. It's very strange the way that she's putting this. And then, you know, her thing basically is like, well, I'm not going to talk about alien bodies. What's that got to do with? So her op didn't include the bodies part. This guy went rogue, temporarily rogue, went over the edge, and he got out of control of the original op. So an opster who found his own op. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Special Report. This is UFO file wars and opsters. The government overdrive, getting ready for the UFO threat. We're going to take a couple of your questions to round out the program. The last thing I want to say is, here's the statement by Stephen Greer dealing with David Grush. And he said, Dr. Greer met with this whistleblower in March 22 in Culpeper, Virginia, and has been providing him with information about facilities and operations. So this guy has made his way around the circuit. And in my opinion, has been part of a data mining disinformation program. And a lot of the ways that they've rolled this out, pretending that, oh, we finally have disclosure and all the rest of it. It's a guy who came forward and granted, on a military level, he was in the UAP task force and stuff. And, you know, he'd been in the Air Force in Afghanistan. It's not that he doesn't have a real military background, certainly not, but he definitely is someone that they've decided, you know, we need to use him for this dangle of the UFO threat operation. And this time they decided to use the bodies thing. That part is new. A whistleblower has made new claims on non-human spacecraft. David Charles Grush, a former intelligence officer with top secret clearance, claimed that the secret has been kept for decades. Well, you know, I mean, welcome to our world. Jeez. Speaking to News Nation, Grush revealed his claim, saying that while working at the UAP task force, the group was denied access to a crash retrieval program. Now, you know, he's not providing any proof for that, but he's saying basically this is what he feels, that he, you know, and he's heard these things. There's no proof for it. It's just something he wants to say. Grush claimed that there were spacecrafts from a variety of other species. Well, that's nice if you have something that you can put on the record about it. And, you know, we also are running into weird territory where he starts talking in the language of the UFO field in general. At a certain point, he gives an interview. He just gave a French interview where he talks about the recovery of a bell-shaped object. And he goes back into the 1930s. Now, it's funny because I've been talking about how the CIA likes to co-opt some of the main imagery around the UFO file. And certainly the bell coming out of the German Nazi program, and the kind of deep research that people like Joseph Farrell have done, for example, on it. We've done a number of shows on it. Is one of those real hallmarks that would grab the attention of the UFO community. So parts of the op are really well thought out. Parts of it are already highly suspect, and continuing the links with Elizondo, the original, you know, kind of CIA plant in the middle of the whole UFO disclosure piece, was a real misstep in relation to this. But there's a lot of things obviously in relation to how they want to roll this out, and some of it is getting very, very clumsy indeed. And what I'm going to do is I'll turn this over to you, Miss Olivia, and then I'll throw in a couple of things at the end.
Okay. Diana Conrad says the debrief was created supposedly by a spook allegedly tasked to infiltrate the UFO community, nephew of defense chiefs.
Well, I understand that it's Tim McMillan, who's a former law enforcement guy, and Micah Hanks and someone else. And they do their own thing, and I've never paid any attention to it because they don't have any, you know, there's no questioning of anything to do with Elizondo or any of those people. They just let it roll. So I realized it wasn't a legit outfit in that regard. The thing that I did see about them and what I remembered is that Tom Rogan, who was a guy, he actually ran the McLaughlin Group after McLaughlin. I remember McLaughlin Group.
That was weird.
And he's a British guy, and he started to open up and say, I'm really into UFOs, and just starts talking about all this UFO stuff. So the debrief did a piece, and they rifled it through with Tom Rogan's help to all these, like CNN and all this other stuff. But the debrief had only been up there as a website for one day. So somebody had planned that stuff out, and that's the kind of stuff that, you know, from here for the last couple of years, they've just tried to basically contain the story and keep the whole questioning of any of these characters to a minimum. So I don't think of that as legitimate. You know, if you want the truth, basically, if you're in the truth-telling business and you don't tell the truth, you get out of the business. You know, it's a pretty straight-ahead thing. There's lots of different things you can do. So that is the theme there for sure, but let's go a little bit further. Okay.
Timothy Guessing, does DJ think the UAP disclosure is meant to erase 75 years of UFO research?
Absolutely. Look, National Security Act gives us, all of these different pieces where the secrecy goes into overdrive, and then you get the CIA Act. They established the CIA there, but then they give the CIA unlimited powers with another act after that. All of that happens after World War II, but it happens after the Roswell incident, and it happens after the UFO wave. So there's a relationship going on there. There was a protocol involved about UFOs immediately incorporated into this. There were UFO cases before that, yes, but they had the hardcore program by 47. And then when you get into the Robertson panel and things of that nature, you start to see real ex-players like Lloyd Berkner and people of this nature show up. And that's where they start to hide things excessively about what they have and what they're dealing with. and you have a lot of UFO activity taking place there. Now, there's a reshuffling of the world order going on, so you can ascribe it to a number of different things. A lot of people ascribe the UFO waves to the fact that we started using atomic weapons, nuclear technology, and that these other off-world races saw that and saw that we were in, you know, we could possibly destroy the world or interrupt what they were doing. I think there is something associated with our discovery of the technology. And, but the key to the UFO file is the X technology. And that is not necessarily of an alien origin. This is why we need to kind of crisscross that there's a duplicate thing going on here. And we need to discover the two different streams that are going along with this. Part of that ancient stream involving the technology that they had and what we hear about in Atlantis, that they had flying machines. You know, the Nazca lines prove that we had flight. But we, you know, the culture hasn't made that jump because it's been restricted. It's never been allowed to do that. So, and then the only answers that you ever get for anything are, oh, ancient aliens, let's have fun with that and have a TV show. You know, but the problem with the ancient aliens thing is that there's too much information about Atlantis, which is a human civilization. So you have a couple of things going on here, which if you ascribe it just to an alien thing, you get into all sorts of trouble. So the X technology comes out and is preserved by the mystery schools on one hand, and the UFO file, when we have those sightings and all the rest of it, they exhibit these different qualities. One of those qualities is to suspend the physics of reality. So all of the stories include missing time, people walking through things, getting abducted through objects, you know, and you have entire cities blacked out when they show up. Vehicles don't work. People feel paralyzed, all of these different things. And they're all something I call apotheum. All of these effects are apotheum, and they're associated with the X technology and the UFO file. And remember, the X technology resides in the UFO file. That's where the people who have exposure to anything like Tesla technology or any of that stuff, they're also working on the UFO file. It's like they're working on them in tandem because they both represent this effect. And I think the major secrecy push around the UFO file is because they cannot completely control the apotheum effect that exists inside the technology. And they're not sure if it can be used against them. But they've used the discovery of the UFO secrecy and everything that they've been able to do through the CIA to, with a very small group, harness incredible scientific advantages. And that's the nature of the problem now, is that the story has run away so much that there's a very schizophrenic situation on the ground where the public knows this much and the, you know, the small elite groups controlling things know so much more. And that goes into finance, it goes into medicine, it goes into astronomy and everything else. So, you know, we haven't had a return trip to the moon since 1972, but they have SpaceX. What happened to the space program? You know, these things don't make sense. There's no culture that moves like that. You don't go to the moon and then forget about it for 50 years. So they've been operating with an entire clandestine set of rules, and they were able to do that through government procedures like the continuity of government program. Yes.
Mr. Wolf says, convincing the average citizen to pay for their own increased surveillance by a fear. Red Cap Goblin says, one lie to rule them all. Yeah. Bug in the Garden says, do you think they'll link climate change with the UFO event?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they can do a lot of things with the UFO threat. One is, first, there's a threat. There's all these craft everywhere. We'll save you. That's when you get Van Herk. With his Roswell lineage, he'll just take over. And what they do, if you study the protocol of continuity of government, and you know the government's been very comfortable talking about it. It used to be one of the biggest secrets. You couldn't get them to say anything about it. Now they love to talk about it. Nancy Pelosi used to talk about how she was briefed about continuity of government when they were obsessed with getting Trump out of office after he had been defeated. That was the weird part, where you knew something strange is up here. You don't want him in there for the last 2 months. And they were trying to use COG protocols before the election, because before they decided to go into that whole, I guess I can say rigging elections now, because the new YouTube protocol is, hey, you know, you can say rigging elections. Before they went into that, they were using a very unusual, you know, the thing with Trump when he got COVID, they were looking at the COG protocol. And the COG protocol was used on September 11th. We know that Dick Cheney used it. He went into a mountain and like Moses came out with the Patriot Act. That's the Ten Commandments. You know, so we already know that it's been executed, but the people who've been setting it up for generations and, like, you know, not very favorable people like Dick Cheney and Dick Donald Rumsfeld. I mean, you know, the presence of Liz Cheney every once in a while hanging around, you know, saying I'm going to challenge Trump and all this kind of stuff. That's the COG group, you know, making sure that what they want to do is well taken care of. And I believe very much that part of their end game is a smaller population that they just control with robots. Yes.
Active Guardian Zinger. Says, let's not turn into excited children the way we did in 2017 when Leslie Kane hoodwinked us. If your IQ is above room temperature, you have already figured out that Grush's disclosure isn't for us.
Yeah, as of now, the thing that they've put on the record, I mean, is just him talking, you know, and it's the fact of his level that he had worked with the UAP task force and putting these things on the record. But as I showed you, they had this whole thing laid out where they had Gary Nolan first talk about it. Then they had, you know, the bad Corbell flares blow up thing. That was supposed to be a big UFO revelation. Then the NASA UFO hearings with Kirkpatrick and them saying, well, you know, we don't have any money to study things. We need more money and we can get you some answers. But, you know, one thing we will put on the record, which is that the GoFast, that is the thing that made TTSA famous through the New York Times article, was only going 40 miles an hour. And they used scientific analysis on that to show how it was going 40 miles an hour. And one of the things I pointed out is that Russell Targ had been on this program and had told me that the thing that we were looking at with Tic Tac and all that was not as it was presented. And he was in a position to know. So, you know, all of that was bogus. Not only that, but as I've pointed out, and I don't know how this ever eluded the media, they just weren't interested in it. But one of those three videos that Elizondo came out with had already been out on YouTube from 2007. So, you know, that's a long time ago. So how is that any kind of big story? This is the weird thing. And so one of the things I want to say is when we got into, there was a whole thing that happened with the mainstream media adopting the independent media's subjects, but only wanting this kind of superficial glaze on top. So even with Tucker Carlson, who they got rid of, because what happened was they said, go in and sort of, you know, poach the alternative media and their subjects, because this stuff is so popular in those groups. And, you know, people are very interested in all these different subjects. And they expected him to just, you know, he was doing pretty superficial stuff when he was doing UFO programs. He had a bunch of CIA people come on. But at a certain point, he became very interested in saying the real deal. And they stopped him from doing, they were like, we're going to get rid of this guy. That is very telling, because we see a lot of this and we see a big disconnect. I pointed it out with people like Megyn Kelly and other people who, you know, they get into the UFO subject and they get into it and they're like, just the fact that they're into it, they think is the innovation. They're like, wow, I'm hip, I'm into the UFO thing. And the problem is that they allow in all of these CIA people to drive the narrative. And, you know, it's the same thing with the Joe Rogan show. Somebody asked me what, you know, which episode of Joe Rogan dealing with UFOs I was interested. I said, Joe Rogan's never done a UFO show. And they said, well, he has. Look, you know, Christopher Mellon, all these other people. I was like, those are operations, you know. And yeah, I'm maybe somewhere in there, there's been a UFO show. But my point was basically all of these higher level, you know, and you see this a lot with what I call the bro podcast and stuff. They'll take the subject itself and there's no, they don't have the deeper crisscross, so that they think something like Grush or Elizondo or, you know, John Ramirez, who says, I'm a CIA contactee. you know, those are programs. Those are CIA programs to co-opt and data mine different aspects. So if you know something about the CIA, if you know something about how the government works, then that stuff is obvious. If it's not, then those people will use you and you'll actually do a disservice. It would be better if a lot of those people, you know, if you weren't even covering the UFO thing, because they don't, they're promoting the wrong version of it. And that version is CIA disclosure. And it's obvious. The only thing that gets me, you know, I can see why the media is under orders to do things. And in other circles of the media, they're just naive. They don't know the subject. But the people on the UFO research side, for them to allow themselves to be whipped up into the CIA intel blender of these subjects, just like they will with this Grush story, just for recognition or something, you know, I mean, get recognition from your dog or something, you know, from your pet. don't lay that whole trip on this. I mean, you know, the CIA is known to completely try to control different areas and to promote their own propaganda in relation to UFOs. They've hidden for 8 decades the truth about the UFO file. They've assassinated leaders overseas. They've assassinated leaders here, including President Kennedy. That's not who you go to for disclosure. How does the CIA part get in the mix? Well, you know, what you need is an entirely different approach around the UFO file. And let me tell you, guys like Mac and Stanton Friedman and others had it, because they were like, oh, people have been in these programs, you know, they know they've come out, you know, like Ray McGovern was in the CIA doing analysis for years and they threw him out because he was too honest. you know, that's very different than rolling in and saying, well, hi, I'm Jim Semivan. I wasn't even on the record till 2015 as a human being, but I'm in such a deep level of CIA ops and such a high level that for 25 years, I've been doing secret work that nobody knows about. But guess what? You know, come to Jesus. I'm a CIA contactee and I want to give you all disclosure. It's absurd. Why would anyone expect that the world's best lying agency would ever give you the truth? You know, what they're good at is counterintelligence. It's the whole nature of why they were invented, collecting information and deceiving opposing nations. Well, in this case, we are the opposing nation. What's so hard to figure out about that? Okay.
Christy says, you know, someone's not on the payroll when they end up dead, i.e. Phil Schneider. Yes. And Alex Dunn says, whistleblowers do not get primetime interviews. They get Epstein.
Yeah, I mean, this is the nature of the problem when you get with a whistleblower, because, you know, if they're saying, well, I know all this stuff, but I can't tell you about it, but don't worry, it's true, then it doesn't get anywhere. And at the same time, a real genuine whistleblower might be in a tenuous position where if they say anything, they could be subject. But, you know, that's how you got the Pentagon Papers and all things like that, which is that's how you got WikiLeaks, which is people who went outside of those protocols. And so I'm going to tell you about an interesting situation where what I heard in relation to the name of the crash retrieval program happened a couple of years ago, and it wasn't a classified leak or anything like that, but someone who had worked in those circles and knew enough about those circles, including all the TTSA players, told me that the name of the crash retrieval program that was known among those people was Black Rogue. And I have subsequently looked through government documents looking for Black Rogue. And it's interesting because when this guy, the one kind of interesting payoff in this guy's stuff could be how much information did they give him? But he said, oh, you know, the crash retrieval program even has a different name, you know, than any program that anyone's heard of. And that was interesting to me because I heard the same group talking about Black Rogue 2 years ago. So that'll be interesting to me if they ever come out with that one. Whether or not it's true, I don't know. But that's something that was one of those kind of interesting crisscrosses of information. And we'll see if Black Rogue is the crash retrieval program. But you know, you need a solid basis of who's giving you the information and who's running the op. And the nature of the opsters at this point, the goal behind the people who are running the opsters is they want to develop a certain type of an understanding around UFOs. And remember, they might even outlaw the free thinking around the UFO file, because if they already have it through the National Defense Authorization Act, so meaning that they're putting it into a national security threat footing. So if they start to announce, hey, you know, there's evil UFOs and there's a UFO threat, we need all this money to protect you, and you have to suspend your liberties because, oh, we can't control whatever this thing is. Well, you're going to get into territory where, you know, you won't be able to have your own opinions or ideas. Independent research around the topic will go right out the window. And what's amazing to me is that, you know, people who are in the UFO field, who are smart guys and all the rest of it, like Dolan, like Knapp, say, oh, there's no UFO threat program. No, they couldn't do that. And then the thing that kills me about Dolan is he says, and if they did do that, it would be a false flag. Well, then it's too late, because you haven't paid attention to all the signs that show you that that's what they're doing. So maybe at that point, you know, it reminds me of the President Kennedy thing, when all these people like Curtis LeMay were coming in and saying, don't worry, if we go in and attack Cuba, the Soviets won't do anything. And Kennedy leaned over to his brother Robert and said, you know, the one advantage that these tin hats have over us is if, you know, we go in and blow things up and then they come back and there's a nuclear retaliation, there's going to be no one left to tell them that they were wrong. And that's the nature of the situation that we're in. Yes.
Mind Control Inc. DJ, how will Elon Musk fit into our CIA disclosure op, seeing as Twitter is a main network to public conversation?
Yeah, it's interesting. Musk came out when this came up and said, oh, I don't know anything about aliens. That's kind of conspicuous. This guy knows all about the UFO file, and he knows about the X technology. He's someone that they selected to roll out the X technology. So that thing about the breakaways breaking back in, Elon's a good vehicle for them to do that with. You know, when you talk about Elon Musk, because think of the things that he's involved with. He's involved with SpaceX, one. He's involved, you know, he runs Twitter. He's got Tesla. Note the names here, X Tesla. Ringing bells. And he, you know, has the Boring Company. It's all these different things that he's involved in. So you're not dealing, when he says something, you're dealing with a group of activity. And, you know, maybe once in a while he goes off the reservation and says something. But in general, he's given what to say, because, you know, when you have that much power and that much influence, there's a number of things running you. And that's what we learn when we study the Howard Hughes situation, and how they put so many things, you know, Hughes Medical, Las Vegas, Hughes Aerospace, all these different, you know, all the intelligence things that he had going on. And they were all calling it Howard Hughes, but Howard Hughes had nothing to do at a certain point, you know, with any of it. And Musk is kind of, he's in this mold, you know. And he's an individual person with his own opinions and stuff. But when you get up at that level, you're no longer dealing with just, you know, what do you think Musk thinks about such and such. When something comes out that's related to Musk, it's because this committee that's in charge of $300 billion, you know, says, well, we have to go in this direction. And that's where you get the whole freedom of speech thing, because they knew. And it's funny, because you get Jack Dorsey now. And he's like, oh, you know, I believe in smashing the CIA the way JFK did, and I love RFK Jr. and all this stuff. Look, Jack, here's the real truth, okay? You suppressed the New York Post reporting of the Hunter Biden laptop story. That was your decision as the CEO of Twitter. And you did that under pressure from the Davos crowd. You interfered with an election, and you had the help of 51 intelligence people. And those 51 people came forward and said, the Hunter Biden laptop is Russian disinformation, and you rubber stamp the whole thing. So where's your apology for that? If you don't want to smash the CIA into a million pieces, if that's, you know, if you were in the Kennedy mold, then how about a little bit of transparency and saying, yeah, you know, I subverted the Constitution. Yeah, you can do that in the middle of your ice baths. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is UFO File Wars and Government Obsters. Boy, have we been deep in the woods with this, but this is kind of a very core aspect of the ex-steganography series that we have going on here. And the Ideas Room is very well associated and acquainted with these ideas. We're going to take a couple more questions and then we're right over the moon tonight. Yes.
Okay. Blue Bum says, DJ, actually, I'm going to switch gears. Hold on.
Yes.
Where am I? Here I am. Okay. Jay Vandervest.
Hey, wait, it's intermission.
It's a palate cleanser. Okay. Jay Vandervest.
Wait, I almost did intermission this. Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. When does DJ think they might run a Project Bluebeam op? Joaquin Carica says COG 100% before the next election. And Food Provider says, I forecast that the X-Protect community will promulgate stories of abductions and cattle mutilation to encourage people to stay indoors.
Interesting. They can use the group that's been operating, the CIA part that they've been operating with, didn't want to work. They were the ones who were doing the whole Leslie Cain type thing. Let's just talk about the craft and the threat. Don't mention the alien part. And somebody in the mix here is dangling out the alien pilots' dead bodies and that whole kind of thing. So remember, they're always data mining. They want to know what's going to work, basically. Ultimately, the UFO threat piece is very tricky because other countries know a lot about the UFO file, including Russia. And part of getting rid of, you know, Russia's leadership position in the world and putting us on this footing with them and trying to discredit them is that if they, there's been a game going on with Russia for a number of years. They know a number of things in relation, one, to our moon program, things that say aren't on the record. They know as much or more about the UFO file as we do. That's based on all the best research. And if you go back, you can find that there were leaders of the Soviet Union who were developing a whole database of UFO sightings, performance, and all the rest of it. One of the key things in President Kennedy's outreach to Nikita Khrushchev behind the scenes was on this UFO file aspect, going to the moon together, and that whole piece. So they know a lot. They also were tracking with satellites the 9/11 event. So they know that all is not as was portrayed. So they have all those cards to play in their deck. But, you know, they're kind of ultimate cards. But what you've seen from Russia is them saying kind of strange things like, you know, there have been UFOs hovering over war zones. Those things coming, being put out by the government, them using the term UFO. So I think there's a threat in there that says, oh, you want to do this? You know, then we're going to talk openly about the UFO file and you can explain what you guys have been doing over there. So there's a lot involved with Russia. You have to understand that Russia holds the level as we do on the UFO file. I don't think anyone comes anywhere near as close than the United States and Russia in relation to the UFO file. That includes knowledge of who's operating the craft, as Bobby Inman said, and also this whole Apotheum thing and the advanced technology piece that goes with it. Also their presence in space, because after all, Russia, you know, runs the space station. For a long time, we couldn't even get into space without Russia. They had basically taken over a lot of that. And we were, you know, telling them, hey, we need you to get into space. Now we're supposed to do everything with chemical rockets and privatization. Something weird, something has been left out, which is the advanced development of a whole space infrastructure that's gone on without consulting the public. And it's been outside of the oversight of the public. So, you know, Russia packs a mean punch when it comes to space issues, and you can't get a UFO threat if Russia's not on board with you. You're going to have real problems. So if you can discredit Russia, so therefore everything that you say, if you get enough nations on your side, then you can run the UFO threat. And I guarantee you that this is something that they're engaged in very heavily. And all the signs are there for them to do this. For anyone who's looking, it's very obvious. The Grush thing is part of it. Yes.
Food provider, could Russia be trolling the U.S. by teasing us about what they know on the UFO file?
Yes. Well, I always look for, you know, right off the bat in the Ukraine war, there were two strange signatures. The first one was when they said, oh, Chernobyl's been hit. Chernobyl was an 80s nuclear meltdown, which is one of the nuclear horror stories. And there was a lot of strange stories going on about control in relation to that. Then there was a weird story about a very advanced Soviet, Russian plane going down that was heading into Ukraine. And it goes down in this area where there was a major sighting in 1989. Now, this sighting was so big, the New York Times covered it. It was on Nightline. It's all these different things if you go back and look at that story. And that's where this very advanced plane went down. And that story has people coming out of the craft, and you know, these aliens come out of the craft, and all these people in a park see them, and then a police chief tries to take them on. You know, it's all this bizarre stuff. And he's interviewed, you know, by international media. And there's a lot of, like, you know, they're trying to go after the alien in the park, and he disappears and he shows up over here. You know, I mean, it's such a weird story, but it's on the record. Well, that's where that plane went down. So when we got into the Ukraine thing, there were instantly a lot of odd signatures. Ghislaine Maxwell, when she is in prison, starts talking about Chernobyl for no good reason. You know, so, I mean, yeah, a lot of that falls into kind of an speculation, but for me, there's very telling things about Russia gearing up to say, you know, here's the UFO piece. I think that they're right in there with us, and it's kind of a weird game. And even part of the Grush thing running through the media is to data mine, how do people respond to this? And we're seeing a lot of that. Yes.
Peter Rabbit, what does DJ think about the Fox documentaries?
The Fox documentaries on UFOs?
I guess so.
Yeah. You know, it's very superficial stuff, generally. Maybe you've seen one that isn't, but the stuff that I've seen is they love to just glint around the surface because there's a tantalizing thing about it, and they love to use kind of buzz phrases about things, but they don't go anywhere with it. They don't show you how it operates inside the government. So they don't give you that kind of X level of research. And, you know, there's a whole piece that's associated with the UFO file that goes a lot deeper than just, hey, there's something here that flies a lot faster than we do. There's a whole, you know, there's a consciousness aspect that gets involved. There is a knowledge of humanity, of interaction with this. And finally, you know, there's interdimensional qualities to aspects of this. Anyone who's been deep on it, you know, if you go into Mac's work, Mac wasn't a particularly, you know, you couldn't say he was somebody who was particularly interested in, you know, it wasn't like he was there for consciousness studies or something. He just figured out that the UFO thing had a big interaction with what the nature of reality and all the rest. So, you know, it's a much bigger thing than just, oh, look at the signature. This metal is from a different planet, you know. That's a scientific point of view, which is very flat and doesn't get the answers. So, and you see a lot of that used. When you get into the deep level of looking at UFOs, how they're redeveloped and how the pilots are trained to withstand the forces and all the rest of it, a lot of it has to do with psychic training. And when you look at somebody like Wernher von Braun getting Russell Targ to develop ESP machines for astronauts, things of this nature, for NASA, and he did it. And, you know, Russell went into that. Russell is going to be on the show, and he's going to tell us about some very interesting things he's never put on the record before. But, you know, that's important for us to understand it. If you go into those stories, you can find there's a mental interface involved with UFO technology that has, you know, it's a psychic mental interface, which has nothing to do with, you know, just general tracking science speed and, you know, how did they get here? What kind of fuel did they use? It's very different. And that's a level, you know, that's when you're really going deep. So the other specials and the things that we see, I think, deal with the subject on a superficial level. And they often use, like, you know, bad alien heads and things like that in the advertising. And you'll see it and you'll be like, you know, you're almost embarrassed for the channel putting it together because, you know, it's a much bigger thing than just, you know, a monster in outer space. Yeah.
Okay. Blue bum. DJ, what do you see Dr. Stephen Greer's role as? A lot of people want to know what you think of him. Acknowledging that he is controversial.
Yeah, I think he's brought key things in at times. And, but, you know, it's kind of like, it's too much to go into in like 60 seconds or less. But the only thing I'll say about...
I can.
Well, what I say about Greer, no, I'd love to hear anything you have to say. I will just say this about Greer, which is he's put some things on the record, but there have been some spectacular fails for certain things like Atacama and things like that, which show more of a marketing edge. And, you know, and then you have other things like the National Press Club events and things like that. And he's put people on the record in his Sirius program who were NASA people who came out later. So that's valuable. People have said that to me in relation to Project Camelot and stuff. And so, like, oh, all these fraudsters came through Project Camelot. The thing is, though, really important things came about through Camelot as well. And so you have to kind of measure them off. There is a filtering process through some of it. But some of the people, like Bob Dean, for example, came through Camelot. And what's interesting is there was this amazing story about the rings of Saturn and the scientist who had advised the Reagan administration on what they were seeing with what appeared to be craft out on the rings of Saturn. That whole piece is a level of scientific inquiry which is completely unknown. It's just unknown. So there are people who operate with it, but it's very secret information. And I think part of it is they don't want it to make it easy for a foreign country to kidnap one of those scientists who's working on that very strange level. But this guy, Norm Berggren, came forward with that, The Ringmakers of Saturn. That book is out there. Norm's not with us anymore. But, you know, we do get these flashes sort of into the nature of the thing we're dealing with. And I think it would help us tremendously to understand what the leadership is engaged in, especially with the kind of massive depopulation plans that they've been putting in action, that if we understood where they were coming from on the UFO file, then it would answer a lot of questions for the civilization. We could go forward in a much more transparent fashion. Miss Olivia, one more question, but your Stephen Greer comments.
I just think, well, I'll give it to the chatters. Daniel Jorgen says, limited hangout Greer. Adelex says, feels wrong. Alchemy by Angela says, I see him as a psyop. Many psyops have brought forward great knowledge, however. My feeling is, not having spent too much time with Greer, is that his whole, there are no negative or regressive aliens.
Yeah.
It's whenever anybody says, it's all this or it's all that,
yes.
I can't buy into that. You know, it's always both and, you know.
Yes.
There's positive, there's negative, there's metallic physical structures and interdimensional, right? It's a vast phenomena.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think that you need knowledge on, you need the deep state knowledge on one side to understand the political, geopolitical aspects going on with the UFO file. On the other side of it, you need some consciousness of the kind of mystical piece. And that's the whole package for me. And, you know, I try not to drag on any other researcher or anything like that generally. And I actually think that people are engaged in their own lane, doing their own kind of thing. And that's the way it should be. The only time I ever lean out the window to point someone out is when I see them supporting the CIA ops, you know, and that's not, I don't see Greer doing that. He's doing something else totally. So the people I've been really focused on are the people who are helping the CIA. And I think that that's extremely problematic. And with that, Miss Olivia, I think we're done.
Okay, well, actually, we're going to sum it all up with these two.
Okay.
Make America Great Again says, is this the pre-stage for Bluebeam, Emergency Power, COG, and One World Government? And Chris Winnig says, what is their end game? Do you agree with Von Braun that they are aiming for space-based weapons, or is it even more?
Interesting. I think Von Braun gave us an important piece with his prediction. We have to understand, Von Braun is the father of the American space program on the NASA side. We brought him over here because of his amazing talent. He, though, recruited a number of paperclip Nazis along with himself and said, I need all these people to come with me. And so he knows the entire trajectory of that program, including the fact of Nazi involvement with ET development and the whole thing around the UFO Nazi aspect. So they came in with that as well. Kurt Davis famously said, you know, we had help. What's interesting is Davis, who was the person who assisted von Braun to get the Apollo mission to the moon, was in charge of what? He was in charge of the NASA UFO file. So all the UFO reports came directly to him. So they knew this guy understands. And, so I think that that whole piece is crucial when we consider that. So he gave us, von Braun kind of gave us a gift through what he told Carol Rosen. And honestly, how often do you get predictions like that that come true? The last one I can think of that came true was Stan Fulham and what he said about, you know, there's going to be a massive sighting on October 13th, 2010 over New York City. I followed that one. It had an important, made a huge lasting impression on me. Entire UFO field completely forgot about him, but there's somebody who made an accurate, prediction. That's rare. That's very rare. We've made some predictions on this show, and I'm happy to say that they are coming to pass, but I don't like the nature of, you know, prognosticating negative things. But that UFO threat piece, the more that we can see through it, then the less ability it has to, you know, come upon humanity unawares, you know. And this is important. I also think there's a lot of backing down that takes place. The more that the public is aware, the more that these forces think, oh, we can't get away with it. That's important, and that's what we're doing here. That's what dark journalism is all about. I wanted to point out a couple of funny things as we round out here. So I showed you the medals picture, and I thought about how they staged these people very well. Now look, this is Elizondo when he came out. Now think of the Grush medals picture. Well, here is their thing. I was like, oh, the disgruntled whistleblower who needed to tell the truth to the world, right? This was all an act, the New York Times photographer. They had someone special do this. They hired this high-end photographer to capture this moment. And then Ryan Graves is around there, you know. Remember, Ryan Graves is a defense contractor. So if they introduce UAP defense contracts, this guy will stand to get a tremendous boost to his business as a defense contractor. I called on this program for him to say, as a defense contractor, I won't take any UAP contracts. You know, he could still make tons of money from writing a book about his experiences, seeing, you know, Tic Tac or whatever. But again, there's that PR thing like Ryan Graves, you know. So it's interesting to me, those people, you know, don't respond. They don't come on the show. They can't handle a gentleman's debate. The same thing with Gorsh. He can come on the show, and Grush, he can come on and lay the entire thing out, but he's going to get real questions. So it's very unlikely that we're going to see that. But nonetheless, dark journalism is reaching into these things because these people in the field who are manipulating the story find themselves over and over trying to figure out how do we respond to these types of things. Because when I lay these things out and they ripple through the ideas room, they're going in all sorts of different directions. And those things are unpredictable for the people who need the world to be very predictable for them to control it. And with that, Miss Olivia, that's the end of our UFO file wars.
Okay, I do want to throw this out there. Ray Story says, Paul Hellyer said we're dealing with nearly 200 types of off-world species. Last count I heard him say just before his death, not all aliens are alike, so bear that in mind.
Wow, incredible. One thing that Hellyer told me is that the militaries of Canada and the United States have their own agreements that supersede the leaders so that you wouldn't even interact with Biden or anybody like that. Just between the militaries, they have their own deals around the UFO file. That's pretty interesting. That makes a lot of sense to me because there's a plausible deniability built into that for the highest echelon. And with that, Miss Olivia, your super chatters are ready.
Thanks. Okay. So we've got Stephen, Gillenjoy R., Catherine Rorden, Erica Swenson Elliott, Mark Lane, John Klopp, Global Atlantis, Make America Great Again, Medley Childress, Echo Cat 23, Les Scott, Blazing River, Peter Rabbit, Jennifer Walters, Jonathan McIntosh, Joaquin Carica, Brandon K., The Daves I Know, Princess Sunny, Jay Parsons, Trident Vibes, Gen X Nerd, The Buddhas of Boston Sports, and Robert Scott. Thank you so much for your generous super chats.
Fantastic. Unbelievable. We really appreciate your support and to all our supporters and subscribers. You know, it helps us do what we do, and we couldn't do it without you. We're going to do deeper dives, of course, on Grush. I have a very special interview coming up Friday. If you're on the newsletter, you're going to hear what it is and who it is and when it's going to be. You don't want to miss it, let me tell you. There's a great crew out there tonight. Miss Olivia, you did fantastic.
Thank you.
Bravissimo.
I can't remember the last time you spoke that fast.
There was a lot to get in a short period of time. But for me, you know, I just want to say this, that the opsters are, you know, they're on the zenith because they have all the push of the media, the intelligence agencies, Department of Homeland Security, NRO, I mean, you know, and they're poised to get a certain type of narrative out there. And it's important for us to break it down and make them accountable. And also to remember that the UFO file, you know, and that whole wing of research is absolutely fascinating and important for all of us, you know, and important for humanity. And we should have the real thing. And, you know, it shouldn't be sort of told down to us by some agency like Moses on a, you know, mountaintop. It's ridiculous. You know, humanity is at a point where they can develop a real and take that dramatic step of understanding what this is, but not the phony version that groups and defense contractors are going to use for control. You know, the way that they're killing people in Ukraine so Lockheed Martin can give bonuses to all their CEOs. You know, it's a sick system. We can go do a lot better with humanity by bringing these things forward. That's why I've been touting the candidacy of Bobby Kennedy, huge transparency figure in this. Trump, you know, however you think of him, an incredible force around transparency. And for a number of different issues, both are very aware of the Constitution, and we need to get the regime that's in there out because they are, you know, they're all about these very kind of sleazy intelligence ops and political games and profit taking and just demeaning the population and bringing in a whole cultural Marxism that just, you know, plays out as a kind of sickness on the world stage. So the faster we can get rid of them, the better. That's my message here. Let me do a couple of shout outs for everyone. And I do think, and I want to encourage people who are watching this, who are new to the UFO file, that thank you, Trident Vibes, that, you know, for me, it's an exciting subject and it's very important. And there is a lot of mystery about it. Even the best of us are trying to figure out some of those aspects. So as they're trying to portray this false version, let's not forget the real thing or get cynical and have them turn us off from our own consciousness and awareness of that. Because as Miss Olivia says, UFOs are fun.
They are.
Somebody's talking about Zoolander out there. Okay, B. Nickel, travel with flamboyance. I like that. Miss Hemptress, excellent. PSYOP the reset. I'm new. There you go. Okay, it's great to have you here. Make sure you signed up for that newsletter, especially for Friday. Okay. Hal Columbo, Quirky Goss. Donald and Robert for the next 8 years. What a fantastic eye-opening election 2024 could be if you had Trump on one side and you had Bobby Kennedy on the other side. There's so many things, oddly enough, that they have in common. And I think you could get a lot of transparency going there. And I think especially with Bobby, he's coming in kind of like the Trump of 2016. He's bringing so many issues to the fore and taking a lot of chances in the great history of the Kennedy family and the things that they did, have done for America is incredible. So he really is the inheritor of that legacy. And Jen Passavant, thank you very much. Such a great show. Amazing. Lady Blah Blah. I know Kate's out there. It's great to see you. Tina Borich. Excellent. Gigi Young. We had Gigi Young. She's in there somewhere. And Gigi, we're going to get Gigi's comments on this. We're going to have her back on the show very shortly to find out what's really going on here. Let's face it. There's Mr. Wolf. It only takes a small percentage of the population to save humanity. No doubt the ideas room is helping to contribute to that group. I couldn't agree more. Doyle Wayne, fantastic. And Olivia Wings Girl, there you are. Mm-hmm. Corey Anderson, thank you very much. Good night to you. We will see you all on Friday with this very special interview. If you're on the newsletter list, you know what I'm talking about, but watch Twitter, watch Facebook, whatever it happens to be. And, it says end broadcast, but after all, it never really ends. And we'll keep an eye on the opsters for you. And it's going to get deep. Let me tell you, this is just the beginning.
It's the preamble.
It is. Get ready because they're going for it. And never let it be forgot.
Once there was a Camelot.
Once there was a Camelot and can be again. Thank you, everyone.